Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. The day is Sunday. It's March the 5th. It's day 64 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone. My name is Hunter, and we are doing what we do every day. We're spending some time in God's Word. We are letting God's Word spend some time on us. And oh, how we need that. I need that every day. I need Him every hour. I need Him moment by moment. You feel me on that one? I have a feeling you do. Well, hey, today we are breaking into a new book. We are in the book of Deuteronomy, chapters 1 and 2. And then we finish our reading in Mark chapter 12. What do you say we jump right into it here? Deuteronomy chapter 1. We are reading through the New Living Translation. Introduction to Moses' first address. These are the words that Moses spoke to all the people of Israel while they were in the wilderness east of the Jordan River. They were camped in the Jordan Valley near Suf between Paran on one side and Tophel, Laban, Hazoreth, and Di-Zahab on the other. Normally it only takes 11 days to travel from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, going by way of Mount Seir. But 40 years after the Israelites left Egypt, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses addressed the people of Israel, telling them everything the Lord had commanded him to say. This took place after he had defeated King Sihon of the Amorites, who ruled in Heshbon, and at Edrei had defeated King Og of Bashan, who ruled in Ashtoreth. While the Israelites were in the land of Moab, east of the Jordan River, Moses carefully explained the Lord's instructions as follows. When we were at Mount Sinai, the Lord our God said to us, "You have stayed at this mountain long enough. It is time to break camp and move on. Go to the hill country of the Amorites and go to all the neighboring regions, the Jordan Valley, the hill country, the western foothills, the Negev, and the coastal plain. Go to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon and all the way to the great Euphrates River. Look, I am giving all this land to you. Go in and occupy it, for it is the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to all who are their descendants." Moses continued, "At that time I told you, 'You are too great of a burden for me to carry all by myself. The Lord your God has increased your population, making you as numerous as the stars. And may the Lord, the God of your ancestors, multiply you 1,000 times more and bless you as he promised. But you are such a heavy load to carry. How can I deal with all your problems and bickering? Choose some well-respected men from each tribe, who are known for their wisdom and understanding, and I will appoint them as your leaders.' Then you responded, 'Your plan is a good one.' So I took the wise and respected men you had selected from your tribes and appointed them to serve as judges and officials over you. Some were responsible for 1,000 people, some for 100, and some for 50, and some for 10. At that time I instructed the judges, 'You must hear the cases of your fellow Israelites and of the foreigners living among you. Be perfectly fair in your decisions and impartial in your judgments. Hear the cases of those who are poor as well as those who are rich. Don't be afraid of anyone's anger, for the decision you make is God's decision. Bring me any cases that are too difficult for you, and I will handle them.' At that time I gave you instructions about everything you were to do. Then, just as the Lord our God commanded us, we left Mount Sinai and traveled through the great terrifying wilderness, as you yourselves remember, and headed toward the hill country of the Amorites. When we arrived at Kadesh Barnea, I said to you, 'You have now reached the hill country of the Amorites that the Lord our God is giving us. Look, he has placed the land in front of you. Go and occupy it as the Lord, the God of our ancestors, has promised you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged.' But you all came to me and said, 'First, let's send out scouts to explore the land for us. They will advise us on the best route to take and which towns we should enter.' This seemed like a good idea to me, so I chose 12 scouts, one from each of your tribes. They headed for the hill country and came to the valley of Eshkol and explored it. They picked some of its fruit and brought it back to us, and they reported, 'The land the Lord our God is giving us is indeed a good land.' But you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God and refused to go in. You complained in your tents and said, 'The Lord must hate us. That's why he brought us here from Egypt to hand us over to the Amorites to be slaughtered. Where can we go now? Our brothers have demoralized us with their report. They tell us the people on the land are taller and more powerful than we are, and their towns are large, with walls rising high into the sky. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. But I said to you, don't be shocked or afraid of them. The Lord your God is going ahead of you. He will fight for you, just as you saw him do to Egypt. And you saw how the Lord your God cared for you all along the way as you traveled through the wilderness, just as a father cares for his child. Now he has brought you to this place. But even after all he did, you refused to trust the Lord your God, who goes before you, looking for the best places to camp, guiding you with a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. When the Lord your God heard your complaining, he became very angry, so he solemnly swore, "Not one of you from this wicked generation will live to see the good land I swore to give your ancestors, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh. He will see the land because he followed the Lord completely. I will give to him and his descendants some of the very land he explored during his scouting mission." And the Lord was also angry with me because of you. He said to me, "Moses, not even you will enter the promised land. Instead, your assistant Joshua, son of Nun, will lead the people into the land. Encourage him, for he will lead Israel as they take possession of it. I will give the land to your little ones, your innocent children. You were afraid that they would be captured, but they will be the ones who occupy it. As for you, turn around now and go back through the wilderness toward the Red Sea." Then you confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord. We will go into the land and fight for it, as the Lord our God has commanded us." So your men strapped on their weapons, thinking it would be easy to attack the hill country. But the Lord told me to tell you, "Do not attack, for I am not with you. If you go ahead on your own, you will be crushed by your enemies." This is what I told you. But you would not listen. Instead, you again rebelled against the Lord's command and arrogantly went on into the hill country to fight. But the Amorites who lived there came out against you like a swarm of bees. They chased and battered you all the way from Seir to Hormah. Then you returned and wept before the Lord, and he refused to listen. So you stayed there at Kadesh for a long time. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Then we turned around and headed back across the wilderness toward the Red Sea, just as the Lord had instructed me. And we wandered around in the region of Mount Seir for a long time. Then at last the Lord said to me, "You have been wandering around in this hill country long enough. Turn to the north. Give these orders to the people. You will pass through the country belonging to your relatives, the Edomites, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir. The Edomites will feel threatened, so be careful. Do not bother them, for I will give them all the hill country around Mount Seir as their property, and I will not give you even one square foot of their land. If you need food to eat or water to drink, pay them for it, for the Lord your God has blessed you in everything you have done. He has watched your every step through the great wilderness. During these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing." So we passed the territory of our relatives, the descendants of Esau who live in Seir. We avoided the road through Araba Valley that comes up from Alath and Ezion-Geber. Then as we turned north along the desert route through Moab, the Lord warned us, "Do not bother the Moabites, the descendants of Lot, or start a war with them. I have given them Ar as their property, and I will not give you any of their land." A race of giants called the Ammonites had once lived in the area of Ar. They were as strong and numerous and tall as the Anakites, another race of giants. Both the Emites and the Anakites are also known as the Raphaites, though the Moabites call them Emites. In earlier times, the Horites had lived in Seir, but they were driven out and displaced by the descendants of Esau, just as Israel drove out the people of Canaan when the Lord gave Israel their land. Moses continued, "Then the Lord said to us, 'Get moving, cross the Zerad Brook.' So we crossed the brook. 38 years passed from the time we left Kadesh Barnea until we finally crossed the Zered Brook. By then, all the men old enough to fight in the battle had died in the wilderness, as the Lord had vowed would happen. The Lord struck them down until they had all been eliminated from the community. When all the men of fighting age had died, the Lord said to me, 'Today you will cross the border of Moab at Ar and enter the land of the Ammonites, the descendants of Lot. But do not bother them or start a war with them. I have given the land of Ammon to them as their property, and I will not give you any of their land. That area was once considered the land of the Raphaites, who had lived there, though the Ammonites called them the Zamzamites. They were also as strong and numerous and tall as the Anakites, but the Lord destroyed them so the Ammonites could occupy their land. He had done the same for the descendants of Esau, who lived in Seir, for he destroyed the Horites so they could settle there, in their place. The descendants of Esau live there to this day. A similar thing happened when the Kaphtarites from Greece invaded and destroyed the Avites, who lived in the villages in the area of Gaza. Moses continued. Then the Lord said, Now get moving. Cross the Arnon Gorge. Look, I will hand over to you Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and I will give you his land. Attack him and begin to occupy the land. Beginning today, I will make people throughout the earth terrified because of you. When they hear reports about you, they will tremble with dread and fear. Moses continued. From the wilderness of Kadmeoth, I sent ambassadors to King Sihon of Heshbon with the proposal of peace. Let us travel through your land. We will stay on your main road and won't turn off into the fields on either side. Sell us food to eat and water to drink, and we will pay for it. All we want is permission to pass through your land. The descendants of Esau who live in Seir allowed us to go through their country, and so did the Moabites who live in Ar. Let us pass through until we cross the Jordan into the land the Lord our God is giving us. But King Sihon of Heshbon refused to allow us to pass through, because the Lord your God made Sihon stubborn and defiant so he could help you defeat him, as he has now done. Then the Lord said to me, Look, I have begun to hand King Sihon and his land over to you. Begin now to conquer and occupy his land. Then King Sihon declared war on us and mobilized his forces at Jahaz. But the Lord our God handed him over to us, and we crushed him, his sons, and all his people. We conquered all his towns and completely destroyed everyone, men, women, and children. Not a single person was spared. We took all the livestock as plunder for ourselves, along with anything of value from the towns we ransacked. The Lord our God also helped us conquer Aroer on the edge of the Arnon Gorge, and the town in the gorge, and the whole area as far as Gilead. No town had walls too strong for us. However, we avoided the land of the Amorites all along the Jabbok River, and the towns in the hill country, all the places the Lord our God had commanded us to leave alone. Mark chapter 12. Parable of the Evil Farmers. Then Jesus began teaching them with stories. A man planted a vineyard. He built a wall around it, dug a pit for pressing out the grape juice, and built a lookout tower. Then he leased the vineyard to some tenant farmers and moved to another country. At the time of the grape harvest, he sent one of the servants to collect his share of the crop, but the farmers grabbed the servant, beat him up, and sent him back empty-handed. The owner then sent another servant, but they insulted him and beat him over the head. The next servant he sent was killed. Others he sent were either beaten or killed until there was only one left, his son, whom he loved dearly. The owner finally sent him, thinking, surely they will respect my son. But the tenant farmers said to one another, Here comes the heir to his estate. Let's kill him and get the estate for ourselves. So they grabbed him and murdered him and threw his body out of the vineyard. What do you suppose the owners of the vineyard will do? Jesus asked. I'll tell you, he will come and kill those farmers and lease the vineyard to others. Didn't you ever read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. The religious leaders wanted to arrest Jesus because they realized he was telling the story against them. They were the wicked farmers, but they were afraid of the crowd. So they left him and went away. Later, the leaders sent some Pharisees and supporters of Herod to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. Teacher, they said, we know how honest you are. You are impartial and don't play favorites. You teach the way of God truthfully. Now tell us, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or shouldn't we? Jesus saw through their hypocrisy and said, Why are you trying to trap me? Show me a Roman coin, and I'll tell you. When they handed it to him, he asked, Whose picture and title are stamped on it?
Caesar's, they replied.
Well, then Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. His reply completely amazed them. Then Jesus was approached by some Sadducees, religious leaders who say there is no resurrection from the dead. They posed this question.
Teacher,
Moses gave us a law that if a man dies leaving a wife without children, his brother should marry the widow and have a child who will carry on the brother's name. Well, suppose there were seven brothers. The oldest one married and then died without children. So the second brother married the widow, but he also died without children. Then the third brother married her. This continued with all seven of them, and still there were no children. Last of all, the woman also died. So tell us, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? For all seven were married to her. Jesus replied, your mistake is that you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. For when the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. In this respect, they will be like the angels in heaven. But now as to whether the dead will be raised, haven't you ever read about this in the writings of Moses in the story of the burning bush? Long after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died, God said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So he is the God of the living, not the dead. You have made a serious error. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there, listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. The teacher of religious law replied, well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other. And I know it is important to love him with all my heart and all my understanding and all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. This is more important than to offer all the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law. Realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared ask him any more questions. Later, as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple, he asked, why do the teachers of religious law claim that the Messiah is the son of David? For David himself, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand, until I humble your enemies beneath your feet. Since David himself called the Messiah my Lord, how can the Messiah be his son? The large crowd listened to him with great delight. Jesus also taught, beware of these teachers of religious law, for they like to parade around in flowing robes and receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces, and how they love the seats of honor in the synagogues and the head of table at banquets. Yet they shamelessly cheat widows out of their property and then pretend to be pious by making long prayers in public. Because of this, they will be more severely punished. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions, for they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. May God add his blessing to this, the reading of his word. Amen. They tried to trap him. They tried to trap him with this question, a question that was really a story they tried to trap him in. Two stories. They said, "Teacher, we know how honest you are, how impartial you are. You don't play favorites. You teach God's way according to the truth. So tell us, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we?" Oh, this was a clever trap. They tried to trap him in two stories, not just one. They tried to trap him in the story of money and in the story of politics. And oh, how easy it is to get trapped in those two stories. How easy it is to lose your way in those two stories. We can get ourselves enmeshed in these two competing stories that demand our allegiance. They will demand our devotion. They will demand our soul if we're not careful. They can become idolatrous stories for most people. Most people find themselves, to one degree or another, trapped in these stories of money and politics. They thought they could trap Jesus with that two-faced idol of money and politics. They thought that they could bring him down to size and show everybody that he's just like us. He too bows down to these two idols, just like us. Should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? You tell us, righteous and holy teacher, Jesus. Well, Jesus' response is to call for a coin. He says, "Show me a coin. Now, whose image is on this coin?" And of course, they tell him it's Caesar's. Jesus is doing two things for us here. One, he's telling us that you can live this life in a world and in a culture where the gods of this world and culture are demanding your allegiance. You can live in the world, but not of the world, in essence. You can give to Caesar what is his and keep from Caesar what is not. You can keep your soul, you can keep yourself away from Caesar. Now that's the second thing that he taught us here, is by pointing to the image that was emblazoned on the coin. This piece of metal with the image of Caesar emblazoned on it belongs to that Caesar. And conversely, what belongs to God is that thing that has his image emblazed on it. And that thing, my friend, if you want to call it that, is you. It is me. Human beings have the image of God emblazed upon them. Therefore, we belong to God. Give to Caesar that thing that belongs to him, but you make sure that you're giving to God what belongs to him, and you have his image on you, so you belong to him. See, Jesus isn't bowing down to the stories of this world. He's pointing us to the story of God. We live there. We live in his story, not the story of money, not the story of politics. Money and politics are not the answer. No, God is the answer. And I want to live in his story. I want to build my whole life around the things that Jesus has said and done. I want to have my life transformed by living deeply in the story of God, because I belong to him. I'm an image bearer, and so are you, my friend. The prayer of my heart is that I will live in that story today, that my family, my wife, my daughters, my son, that we will live ourselves deep in the story of God. And that's the prayer that I have for you. That's why I come to you every day with the Word of God, so that we will give to God what is his. And you are his. Hallelujah. Well, dailyradiobible.com, that's where we're hanging our hat out here in the interwebs. And as I tell you every day, it is always such a blessing to hear from you, to find out who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. So if you got a moment, you take it and let a body know. It'll bless you, and it will certainly bless me. Hey, one thing that you can do that will be a blessing for me and maybe some fun for you is to read the introduction for our daily podcast. Monday through Friday, I'm soliciting partners, people like you who will come alongside and who will give the reading, not the whole reading, just the introduction to our daily podcast. Would you consider doing that? Send me an email at hunter@dailyradiobible.com. And if you would like to partner with the Daily Radio Bible to continue to make this podcast possible, if it's been a blessing in your life, and that is so appreciated, you can do that easily by going to dailyradiobible.com, clicking on the partner link. You can do it also right from the app itself. Just click on the partner icon there. Or if you're old school, you want to mail your gift in, you can mail it to Daily Radio Bible, 7216 Rolling Oaks Court, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45239. Well, hey, this is being done in Cincinnati today, but today I am heading off to Orlando, Florida, going to the Story Runners Training Week, and there I will be learning a set of stories from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, and it is a chronological oral Bible. And who knows what God's going to do with this? I can't wait to find out. Maybe he'll take me to some distant tribe where I will train others on how to tell the story of God's love for the world. Who knows? Maybe I'll just do it right here in Cincinnati. I can't wait to learn, to discover, to see what God's going to do. I'll let you know when I know. Well, hey, we've done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let his joy be our strength. And you remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. All right, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care.